We will discuss environmental issues and politics on this edition of On the Campaign Trail. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 3rd. We'll talk about the newly released Conservation Scorecard, which assesses the record of the last legislative session on environmental issues and the names of lawmakers who are considered friends or foes of the environment. We'll find out which state lawmakers are on the Conservation Honor Roll and the Dishonor Roll. And we'll talk about some of the top environmental issues that will be debated on the campaign trail this year, including the proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin, which Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke now says she will try to stop if elected. She told Wisconsin Public Radio last week that she will attempt to stop the GTAC mine if elected governor.
Well, I will certainly look at every tool that I have and to make sure that we are at protecting our natural resources. You know, our air and our water are so important, not only to the people who live in the communities, but to the tourism industry as well.
So what environmental issues are most important to you? How important will the stances of candidates on environmental issues be in your 2014 election decisions? What questions do you have on recent legislation dealing with environmental issues or the record of your state legislators? Or for that matter, what's your position on the proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, which released its Conservation Scorecard 2013-2014 on Tuesday of this week. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. We wanted to talk to you about your conservation scorecard. And we also wanted to certainly talk about the proposed iron ore mine based on candidate Burke's position on that mine. She originally in the campaign said she supported environmentally responsible mining. Now she says she's going to try to stop the Gogebic Taconite plan to mine for iron ore in northern Wisconsin. Why do you think she's right on this?
Well, I think she understands what a lot of conservation voters across the state understand, which is this isn't just a bill to cite a certain mine, but this was a bill that rolled back protections across the board for the open pit mining industry. So the kinds of laws that you and I have to follow as citizens and the ones that every industry we interact with, coal plants, corporate agriculture, small businesses, we all have to follow a set of air and water laws and laws that protect public health. Yet what happened in this open pit mining bill that passed this session is we exempted the mining industry from having to follow any of those regulations. And that sits very poorly with a lot of voters, even people who support mining. They say it should be done in a way that still follows all of the laws that are on the books. And you look at this bill, and it specifically says things like the DNR would have to issue an iron mining permit, even if they know it will endanger public health, safety, or welfare. It forces the DNR's hand to do things that we would straight up know aren't good for Wisconsin citizens.
Well, Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany, who represents an area near the mine and is a big proponent of the mine, says that Mary Burke's comments that the mine will destroy the environment and harm tourism are ludicrous. He says Act 1 does not change air, water, and groundwater standards. So why do you say he's wrong?
Well, these kinds of off-base arguments that he makes quite a bit is what landed Senator Tom Tiffany on our conservation dishonor roll this session. There's only three legislators total named to that dishonor roll, and he's the first one, and it's because he continues to tell falsehoods about what this bill will actually do. It states that groundwater contamination by a mining company is acceptable. It allows mining companies to draw down nearby wells, even if they aren't wells that will affect them. So we're saying the well that maybe is watering the farm nearby, the mining company can take that water from the farmer. It continues to shock me that we hear things from Senator Tom Tiffany about how great this bill is for Wisconsin when you talk to the real people it will impact, and there's just no enthusiasm there.
Yeah. He also says the mine still has to meet federal guidelines, so shouldn't that put us at ease?
Well, what we did here was we ceded all of our authority of taking care of our people and our air and our water to the federal government, and that's something that typically people like Senator Tom Tiffany have a real problem with. But in this case, that is what we're doing, and it's going to cause an awful lot of commotion. It already has. We have put ourselves in a position where we are on legal shaky ground. We'll see what the EPA and the federal government thinks about what we've done here. I don't think they're going to look kindly upon it. And then there's the whole question of how tribal governments are viewing it. And I think we've got ourselves in some trouble here.
Well, Senator Tiffany did release a statement on Mary Burke's comments about the mine. And he writes, as author of Mining for Jobs Act, Wisconsin Act 1, I am disappointed in Mary Burke's comments on Wisconsin Public Radio regarding the proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. He says, though not a supporter of Ms. Burke, I was hopeful that as a business executive with overseas manufacturing operations, she would understand the need to create manufacturing jobs here in Wisconsin. Talk some about whether Wisconsin needs this mine because of jobs.
Well, we do hear the only argument we hear back from Senator Tom Tiffany is about the jobs argument, and we understand just how important jobs are to Wisconsin. But the numbers that they're throwing out are unverified, and they seem to only come from mining proponents, like the out-of-state mining company that is run by a billionaire, who are saying some numbers, and then you look at the facts. The iron market right now is plummeting. We look at open-pit iron mines similar to what they're proposing in the UP of Michigan and on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. They've just shut down. And with it, they've laid off over 800 experienced iron workers. So if there were to be jobs, it's highly likely they'd be highly technical jobs that would require people with experience, and they would likely come in from out of state. So I think you can't just say jobs and have that be the end of the argument. There's more to it. It's nuanced. This is complicated stuff. And what we never talk about, and I'd like to see us start talking about, are the number of jobs that come along with having a pristine and healthy environment. We live in a beautiful state. Our outdoor recreation industry supports over 142,000 jobs in our state. And those are things that will be lost when you put a four-mile-long mine in the middle of the Pinoki Hills, one of our most beautiful areas. It's a huge attraction for hunters and fishermen and quiet sportsmen who want to just camp and hike. These are world-class trout streams that we're talking about putting mining waste into. There are repercussions for jobs from that perspective as well.
Well, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke is going to be hopping on her campaign bus today, according to her campaign spokesperson. She's going to be traveling to northern Wisconsin for the weekend. She'll be campaigning in northern Wisconsin for the 4th of July holiday. Let me see. What can I ask? What kind of reception do you think she's going to get? Are people in northern Wisconsin, especially around the proposed mine, wanting to protect their pristine environment, or are they wanting the jobs that are promised to come along with it?
She's probably going to hear both. But what we see in the work that we've done on this bill for now over 3 years is that overwhelmingly statewide, people oppose the bill, and the more they learn about it, the more that opposition grows. So they attempted to pass the bill in the 2011-2012 session, and it was defeated, but it came back this past session, and it passed with one vote. But in that time period, we saw a 20-point increase in the number of people opposing that bill. So statewide, 62% of Wisconsin voters oppose it. And we also found that, and this is what people like Senator Tom Tiffany should be paying attention to, those voters who consider themselves independent, they don't align with either party, they oppose it with by a 44% margin. So people understand that it's more nuanced than jobs versus the environment. This is about quality of life. This is about local businesses. This is about kids' health. This is about why people live in northern Wisconsin. They go there because it's quiet, because it's beautiful, because it supports the kind of life they envision for themselves and their future. And they have some real concerns about what this brings to the table and what it means 20 years down the line when this mine is no longer operating.
And I should note that the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters has endorsed Mary Burke for governor. That's right, Ann?
That's right. And her common sense approach to this bill, in addition to a set of other conservation issues, is what made it a clear choice for us that she would be she'll be an excellent governor when it comes to protecting air and land and water.
The passage of that Act 1, the mining bill, was on your scorecard for 2013-2014 as the biggest defeat for the environment.
Yes, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of good stories to tell about this past legislative session. I'm so glad we have this morning to dig into mm-hmm. it and talk about it some more. But yeah, the biggest disappointment definitely was that open pit mining bill. And yeah, it's unfortunate. It was the very first thing out of the gate this session. And so it started the session off that way. But really, things turned around after that in some ways for the environment. And we'll talk more about it. But there were four big attacks on conservation this session, and we defeated three of them, and that's a 75% success rate. Unfortunately, the big disappointment is this open pit mining bill.
We'll talk about some of the successes as well coming up as we are on the campaign trail talking about environmental issues, talking about the proposed mine in northern Wisconsin, and talking about the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters conservation scorecard for this past legislative session. Welcoming your questions, welcoming your views on environmental issues and the state of Wisconsin and how important these issues are to you in your vote during campaign 2014. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are on the campaign trail today talking about environmental issues that are important to the state of Wisconsin and how those issues factor into the 2014 election. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions for our guest, Ann Sayers, who is the program director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. And we are talking with her also because the league released its conservation scorecard for this past legislative session this week. And we're talking about some of the environmental successes and defeats in the state legislature, and we'll also talk more about the state lawmakers who made it to the conservation honor roll and those who made it to the conservation dishonor roll. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Since we have some callers waiting to talk more about the mine, let me take those before we go more into other environmental issues. Jerry and Shell Lake, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, regarding the GTAC mine, I'm definitely not for it. And the county board of Ashland County says 80 to 90% of the people up there are against it, but the governor wants to force it on us. Also, local control over fracking regulations, they want to take that away, or did already. And also, the governor lowered environmental standards for allowing manure in groundwater, which we get to now drink. So in the land of Nelson, Leopold, and John Muir, it's an abomination. But that endures him to the right wing, being anti-environmental.
Jerry, thanks for bringing up all these issues. Let's talk a little bit. I guess if you have any comment first on that 80 to 90% of Ashland County does not want the mine, or the Jerry's opposition to the mine, Ann.
I hadn't heard that number, but it doesn't surprise me, seeing that they would be downstream of all of the waste that would be generated. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the Lake Superior watershed, where the Bad River Tribe depends on the wild rice for sustenance, and people live there because it's Lake Superior. I mean, this is what makes Wisconsin so cool. And we're putting an enormous 4-mile-long iron mine, the biggest iron mine in the world, right there in the middle of it. And we rolled back every environmental protection we could to do it, which means that they will be subject to, potentially arsenic, lead, and mercury being in their water, losing some prime duck hunting habitats, world-class trout streams. I could see where that number comes from, certainly.
Then Jerry did talk about another issue that is you do cover on your conservation scorecard. I believe you do anyway. But the local control for frac sand mining was one of your successes, was it not?
It was. So this isn't one of these bills where what isn't in the scorecard is just as interesting as what is, because, and not surprisingly, it is Senator Tom Tiffany who is behind both of these bills to roll back local control, but they were both soundly defeated. And I'll explain more what that did exactly. It essentially said that local communities could no longer pass laws at the local level that protect their air and water and land. It even prevented them from doing their own monitoring of their air and water quality. It would have be enacted retroactively. So some of these communities who had already gone above and beyond that are within frac sand mining country are quite nervous about what's being put into their air and water. They had made local moratoriums or local laws that needed to be followed. It would have retroactively taken those off of the books. So as you can imagine, on both sides of the aisle, people respect what happens at the local level. They depend on local authorities to be the first line of defense in protecting the communities where they live, and to have the state government, or even really Senator Tom Tiffany from the North Woods, come down and say, I'm going to no longer allow that to happen. The uproar was incredible. And, it fired up once. We had quite a bit of opposition right out of the gates, and then it quietly died as a result of that. But we expected it would come back. And then a couple months later, Senator Tom Tiffany tried again. He gave it a new name. He rewrote sections of it to more specifically get at easing the way for frac sand mining companies to come into western Wisconsin and set up shop. And once again, citizens fired up. This idea of taking away local control just wasn't going to fly in Wisconsin, and the bill was defeated once again.
You don't fear that it will come back after next session?
Oh, we're prepared for that. I don't trust Senator Tom Tiffany as far as I can throw him. So I think that's a distinct possibility. But Wisconsin citizens keep learning more about what's at stake. And that's another big story that comes out of the conservation scorecard, that the power of citizens to actually impact what happens in the legislature. And I think that sometimes as citizens, especially in this current political environment in Wisconsin, it feels very polarized. I don't think I'm shocking anyone by saying that. And it can feel a little disempowering. It's like everybody's mind is already made up. But when it comes to conservation, that's not necessarily the case. And we saw time and again this past session where citizen power had the ability to overturn some really difficult and bad stuff.
Well, let me say that we will, for a future on the campaign trail segment or another hour on or half hour on this program, invite Senator Tom Tiffany to talk about these same issues, just so the listeners who are listening to this wonder what his response is. Let's talk a little bit, just a minute before news. he is on the dishonor roll on your conservation scorecard because of this. What exactly is the dishonor score? The dishonor roll.
Well, we recognize that a scorecard lists all the bills and how every legislator voted, provides a score. It's a very black and white kind of document. It gives you a really good sense of where your legislator landed. But it doesn't exactly tell you the story behind the scenes. And so one section tells you more about what people did to further conservation, and that's where they land on the honor roll. You hear what happened in committee or how they helped their caucus arrive at the right conclusion. The dishonor roll is the opposite. It's these legislators that went above and beyond to do harm to Wisconsin's air, land, and water. And like I said, there's just three legislators named there, and Senator Tom Tiffany is the first.
We'll talk about who else is on the dishonor roll and who's on the honor roll and talk more about the environmental issues that are covered in the conservation voters' conservation scorecard after we check the news. We welcome your questions and your thoughts on the environmental issues that are important to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are discussing environmental issues on this edition of On the Campaign Trail. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every week at this time, we examine issues that are being debated or discussed on the campaign trail. And today we are talking about the just released conservation scorecard, which assesses the records of the last legislative session on environmental issues, and it names lawmakers on the conservation honor roll and dishonor roll. And we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming the environmental issues that matter most to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Any questions or views on recent legislation dealing with environmental issues or the record of your state legislator? We are talking with Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, which released its Conservation Scorecard 2013-2014 on Tuesday. And Ann, I promised before news that we would talk a little bit more about who's on the honor roll and the dishonor roll. So first, who's on the dishonor roll besides Senator Tiffany and why?
Well, also named to the dishonor roll was Senator Frank Lissay. He's the senator representing Door County and parts of Kewaunee and Brown. And he's just had it, as many know, Wisconsin has really fallen behind where renewable energy is concerned in recent years. And we're watching our neighbors in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, charging ahead into the clean energy economy of the future. And we're really being left in the dust. And one reason is that Senator Frank Lissay just keeps putting forward bills that attack the creation of wind energy jobs here in Wisconsin. And it's something that, you know, fortunately, a lot of people understand how off base that is for where Wisconsin voters want to see our state going. And they haven't really gained any traction. But that hasn't stopped him from continuing to put them forward, sort of leading a one-man attack against wind energy and renewable energy jobs in our state.
And who else?
And then the other one, and this one, it honestly, it upsets me a little bit that he landed here, but it's Senator Neil Kedzie. He was actually on one of our first scorecards for his work to pass one of our original groundwater protection bills. But in this past session, he, I don't understand it, but he put forward a terrible groundwater bill. This was Senate Bill 302. It was also called Sucking Wisconsin Dry Bill. But it essentially allows the DNR to issue high-capacity well permits to entities one at a time without considering the cumulative impact of what those high-capacity wells would do to the groundwater. So it's just an illogical, non-science-based approach to managing groundwater resources. And that's happening at a time when Wisconsin's facing some very serious water shortages across the state, and that's hard to believe given that we're surrounded by fresh water and we have all these beautiful inland lakes and streams, but the fact is that there are streams going dry, that farmers are having a hard time watering their fields. And we really need in Wisconsin a proactive approach to how we're going to manage our groundwater resources for the future. And unfortunately, instead, we spent this session fighting this very bad bill, and it was put forward by Senator Kedzie.
Then for the honor roll, let me start by asking, are there any Republicans on the honor roll?
Yes, there are five legislators named to the Conservation Honor Roll, and two of them are Republicans. And the first one I'd love to talk about is Representative Scott Krug, because it's a good segue from what we were just talking about with the bad groundwater bill. Representative Scott Krug represents this part of Wisconsin, the Central Sands, that is having so much trouble with groundwater right now. There's a lot of agriculture. There's a lot of families living on waterfront property, and it just happens to be a part of the state that struggles with the groundwater supply. And so while Senator Kedzie was pushing forward this really awful bill on groundwater, Representative Krug was meeting with local stakeholders, bringing people to the table, trying to figure out what would be the solution to how to handle groundwater. You know, ultimately, he wasn't able to get a bill pulled together, but we wanted to recognize the efforts that he made on the ground to hear people's concerns and really start where the voters were instead of trying to top down do something that really would have harmed people.
Mm-hmm. And you said, is he the only Republican on the honor roll then?
No, the other one is Representative Al Ott, and this is at least his second appearance on the Conservation Honor Roll. And this time it was for a bill that he authored called A Watershed Approach to Water Quality. And so what we were just talking about with the groundwater bill is about quantity. For Representative Al Ott, he noticed a problem and came up with a really common sense solution that says, when issuing permits around water that are in regards to water quality, that you should also be considering the cumulative impacts on a water source so that you don't have just sort of piling on pollution. And specifically, this bill helps a lot with phosphorus issues, which are one of the greatest challenges that our freshwater faces here in Wisconsin. So he was another one who kind of noticed a problem, pulled together the right people, hammered out a solution, and did all the work behind the scenes that it took to get this bill up in front of the legislature and passed through in a very bipartisan fashion.
And then there are three Democrats on the honor roll?
That's right, and they are all there for the same thing. It's Senators Jennifer Schilling and Kathleen Vinehout and Representative Chris Dano. And all of these legislators are in western Wisconsin and are being honored for their work on frack sand mining. And I don't know if everybody knows, but the fracking industry worldwide really starts right here in Wisconsin because the bluffs of western Wisconsin are filled with this silica sand that is required in order to do fracking. So they put those cracks in the earth. They need to hold them open with something while they inject water and pull up gas. So it's that silica sand we have in western Wisconsin that's needed to do it. It's unlike any other sand in the world. And so 75% of all of it is right here in Wisconsin. That's why we see a huge boom. In just the last 5 years, it went from a handful of mining facilities in western Wisconsin to now well over 100, with 100 more expected soon. So this industry has very little oversight. It's just popped up overnight, and it comes with some real concerns for public health and the environment. When this silica sand is released into the air, it can enter the lungs and cause some very significant breathing problems, and it's also been known to run off into streams, into farm fields, leaving them places where you can't grow anymore. So it needs oversight, and what we are thankful for from these legislators is that they were doing the work, again, behind the scenes to put forward some protections, and were even successful in getting some additional officers assigned to the DNR to monitor this industry.
We are talking about the Conservation Scorecard, which is put out each year or each session by the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. This one covers the 2013-2014 legislative session. And we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions about legislation dealing with environmental issues or the record of your state legislator. wondering how important the stances of candidates on environmental issues will be in your 2014 election decisions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We have had some callers waiting, so let's go to Rick in Nakusa. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning. I'm interested to know if your guest has and the organization she represents has an opinion about CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. Wisconsin seems to have a number of these over in the northeast section of the state. We're looking at one that's being proposed for here in the Adams-Wood County area. Significant health issues with this, significant economic issues with that. How does the organization stand with these?
Ann?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Rick. Yeah, CAFOs, or we sometimes also call them factory farms. As an organization, we don't have a specific position on CAFOs themselves, although we do expect that any industry operating in Wisconsin follows the laws that are on the books, and we expect the state to enforce those laws. And that's where we run into problems with CAFOs. We need the DNR to have the resources they need to be monitoring how those industries are impacting air and water and whether they're following laws, and when they aren't, having the resources they need to enforce that. And that's something that we've seen really decline in the last couple of years, is resources dedicated to enforcement. So that's important. Another way we address CAFOs is through, again, groundwater. It requires a lot of groundwater to run a CAFO, and we just don't have a law in place right now that makes sure that we are equitably sharing all of our groundwater. It's all of ours, and we don't want to see single industry taking from an aquifer and leaving somebody else literally high and dry.
Matt would like to know how the expansion of the Enbridge pipeline running high-density oil through the state would affect the environment.
Oh, thanks for the question, Matt. The Enbridge pipeline is already there. So what's in question is whether to triple its capacity and to include tar sands in the mix. And the state of Wisconsin contends, and they are within the law to say that they don't need to do any additional review to make that happen. Now, our neighbors in Minnesota, where the pipeline only crosses a small section of their state, they're saying, wait a second, before we do this, let's take a look at what the potential risk could be. If there were to be a spill, how quickly could we have hazmat on the scene? How would we go about cleaning it up if it were to spill in this wetland? What would the risk be? In Wisconsin, the DNR and Governor Walker are giving every indication right now that they don't intend to take those kinds of precautions. And so we're very concerned about that. This pipeline is several years old now and just wasn't evaluated for what it means to have that kind of capacity. And tar sands really adds another huge concern to the mix. It's a heavy, dense oil that's much more difficult to clean up. And the company running the show has a number of very serious violations in its history and spills that haven't yet been cleaned up that happened more than 5 years ago. So, yes, I'm glad people are paying attention because it is a very significant threat.
We will continue discussing environmental issues that are on the campaign trail and the newly released Conservation Scorecard, which assesses the record of the last legislative session on environmental issues and rates state lawmakers as to whether they're friends or foes of the environment. And we will welcome your questions and your views. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On the campaign trail today, we are talking with Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, talking about environmental issues that are important in Wisconsin, the record of the last legislative session on environmental issues, the Conservation Scorecard, and lawmakers and their records, and welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jonathan in Milwaukee has been waiting. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. This is Jonathan Brostoff, and I'm a huge fan of the organization, and thank you for the work you do. I, for one, am fired up and very sick and tired of the false dichotomy we get put into time after time, especially by these large corporatist interests who want to say you have to have jobs, but you have to ruin the economy, I mean the environment. And if you want to protect the environment, you have to sacrifice jobs. The truth is, Wisconsin has a strong tradition of not only manufacturing, but also environmental security. And to move forward, we need to continue to marry the two and invest in a strong, green, sustainable economy. And that would bring great manufacturing jobs back here. But the solar panels are getting produced. Wind energy is going to continue. We can fall behind or get ahead of that curve, but it's getting produced somewhere. And why not have it in Wisconsin? Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. A response, Ann?
I couldn't agree more. I think this is a part of the debate that we don't talk about enough, but, you know, our tourism industry is over $12 billion. Hunting, fishing, and wildlife viewing alone is $142 million. We talked earlier about the outdoor recreation economy, but there's also things like agriculture. You have to have fertile land and plentiful water to be in America's breadbasket and to be the leader that we are in agriculture. That's a $51.5 billion economy here in Wisconsin. It goes on and on, right down to one of my favorite industries, which is brewing. And it's a $3.47 billion economy in Wisconsin. And we make some great beer, and we do that because we have fresh, plentiful water. These are things we need to keep in mind when we talk about these really detrimental ideas.
We're going to be talking about craft beers tomorrow on the 4th of July, so it'll be fun tomorrow. We'll talk about that between 6 and 7. So, Ann, I guess overall, we got many other callers, but I just want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the environmental or the conservation scorecard. Overall, was it a good year or a bad year for the environment?
Yeah, I'm glad we can summarize that a bit because we can talk a lot about these standout attacks on natural resources. But at the end of the day, conservation fared fairly well this past session. We defeated 75% of the attacks. We passed into law 50% of the bills that we took a position on. And we saw these glimmers of Wisconsin's nonpartisan conservation legacy that we've always been so proud of. And when I look at our state right now, and I definitely do feel the partisan divide, I don't feel it when it comes to conservation as much. I feel like you see legislators on both sides of the aisle looking into their communities and seeing real faces and real stories about how air quality impacts kids with asthma or how water quantity impacts farmers. And the list goes on, and then you see them rise up and say, how do we just solve problems in a common sense way and shake ourselves out of this very political narrative? And we saw that in conservation. I think it's something that all of us should celebrate, and I certainly hope that and expect that it will continue in future sessions.
Yeah, and so you saw examples of people power on some of these issues, that it wasn't that the people power, I guess, persuaded their legislators to go along with them?
We really did. You know, we talked about how we defeated this groundwater bill. That was a tough task to take on, but we had over 680 citizens make phone calls to their legislators. For the open pit mining hearing, we had 800 people testify. So these are the actions that you know, tens of thousands of emails were sent, and legislators noticed that. And I think sometimes we worry whether they do or they don't. They do. And we saw citizens take even make more sacrifice to make those actions. They come to Madison to testify. They're meeting one-on-one with their legislators in the district. They're cornering them in the grocery store and saying, I heard about this local control bill. What are you going to do? All of those actions add up, and I think that's why we were able to celebrate some successes this past session, because people were paying attention and actually acting on it. And We're just so pleased about that. We really see Wisconsin's conservation movement waking up, paying attention, and taking matters into their own hands, and it's making a difference.
How do you see the conservation scorecard playing into, playing a role in the 2014 elections?
Well, you know, we always say before you vote, know the score. And so we encourage folks to get their hands on it, look up how their legislator did, and see the score. You can go to our website, conservationvoters.org, to kind of take it all in. But it does matter. Wisconsin, more than most states, pays attention to what happens to our air, land, and water when we go to the polling booth. And there's a lot of things on people's minds right now, but nothing's more important than the air you breathe every day and the water you drink. And we expect our legislators to be standing up for it. And when they don't, they pay the political price.
Well, do you expect that environmental issues will be a big issue besides jobs on the campaign trail?
I absolutely do. I think we'll definitely hear more about this open pit mining bill. We're so pleased that Mary Burke is talking about this and making sure people understand what exactly Governor Walker signed into law. These attacks on local control, they don't sit well with anybody, especially when the threat on the line is frac sand mining and silica dust in our air and in our lungs. And also groundwater. We all are seeing it, and we'll see more of it this summer as you drive around. You'll see low lakes, low rivers, and what that means, it's all connected. And the groundwater underneath all of that is low, and it's going to make it hard to water our fields and fuel our homes with fresh, clean water.
Because we started the hour with Mary Burke, who is taking her campaign to northern Wisconsin this weekend and talking about her opposition to the GTAC iron mine and how she said she would try to stop it if elected. We have not talked much at all about Governor Walker. What role has he played in the environmental laws that were passed or not passed this session?
Yeah, well, I definitely want to give him credit. I mean, 50% of the bills were that we took a position on were signed into law, and that required his signature, and we're really pleased to see that. But there's also a set of very serious concerns, and first and foremost among them is passage of the open pit mining bill. But there's also been some habits developed over these 4 years where he's in office, and one that's really concerning to us is how we're falling behind in the renewable clean energy economy. We should be developing clean energy jobs in Wisconsin. We have the technology. We are innovative. Our university system, our natural resources, we should be leading on this instead of lagging behind. And it's very frustrating, especially when we're always talking about jobs and here's this beautiful opportunity that we just ignore. So I definitely fault him for that, and I think Wisconsin voters are eager to see leadership on that issue in particular.
Well, that'll do it for today. I hope you have a very happy Independence Day holiday. Thanks very much for being with us.
Same to you. Thank you.
Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, which released its conservation scorecard this week. We've posted that scorecard on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, I hope you have a happy 4th of July, too. We will be here tomorrow. At this time, we're going to be talking about the All-American hot dog. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.